Right, good morning everybody. Good morning, it's very good to see you. A very warm welcome to Barkham Church. My name's Julian, I'm the minister here, if you don't know me. And later on, David Horrocks, who works with me at Barkham, he's going to be continuing our series in Matthew's Gospel. It's really good for us to be together in these trying times. Just a reminder of some of the regulations at the moment. We ask you please to remain in your seat throughout the service. Unless there's a real emergency, please remain in your seat. Although we are delighted that today we're able to run Sunday Club again. And children will be taken over by their parents about halfway through our service. Do please keep your masks on throughout the service. And we're not allowed to sing, but we do have two great songs that we can listen to. You can hum along and we can enjoy and be encouraged by those. You will have heard that we are entering a new 4-week lockdown on Thursday, so things will no doubt change next week. Guidelines are yet to be fully confirmed, but we will let you know. Please look out for emails during the week. Well, how can we find encouragement in these very trying times? Well, there's only one place to look, and that is to look up, to look to the Lord, and seeing that actually we have every reason to praise Him. It's amazing, when we look around, when we look at our circumstances, when we look at the headlines, when we listen to the news, it's all discouraging. But when we look to the Lord, it's all encouraging, because we have every reason to praise Him. And we're starting our service today by saying Psalm 138. It's a great psalm of praise. I thought I'd just pick out some of the reasons for which it tells us to praise God. So verse 2 talks about His unfailing love and His faithfulness. That is God's binding commitment to love us. He has pledged Himself to us to love us. And then verse 4, it says, "May all the kings of the earth praise you, Lord, when they hear what you have decreed." At the moment, it feels like we hang on every word, every decree of our leaders. But God's decrees, what He says, those things are far more urgent and far more wonderful. And so we should praise Him for those. And then verse 6, "Though the Lord is exalted, He looks kindly on the lowly. Though lofty, He sees them from afar." Our God is very great. He is high, He is exalted, but wonderfully He is close to those who know that they are weak and who look to Him. So this is a brilliant psalm to encourage us on this day. Let me ask us to stand. Let's please stand. And let's say Psalm 138 together. "I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down towards your holy temple and will praise your name for your unfailing love and your faithfulness. For you have so exalted your solemn decree that it surpasses your fame. When I called, you answered me. You greatly emboldened me. May all the kings of the earth praise you, Lord, when they hear what you have decreed. May they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. Though the Lord is exalted, He looks kindly on the lowly. Though lofty, He sees them from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand you save me. The Lord will vindicate me. Your love, Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands." Well, do take a seat. Your love, Lord, endures forever. His love endures forever. Wonderful thing to know. And we've got a very fitting song for us to start with today. If I were to ask you, what is it on this day that gives you hope? What would you say? Some people look for hope to their leaders. Many look for hope to our scientists. Often we're tempted just to look to our own strength and our own resources. But this song is crystal clear with us, isn't it? Christ alone. Christ alone. Look to him, because he is the one, through his death, through his perfect life, who gives us confidence before the Father. And he is our anchor in all the storms of life. So let's listen to this one together. In Jesus' blood and righteousness. John says, If anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. And it's because of that that we have confidence to confess our sins to him, which we're going to do now using the prayer printed on our service sheet. Let's just have a moment to consider the things we particularly want to bring before Almighty God, and then we'll pray. So we pray together. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Our Father, we thank you for our Saviour Jesus, for his perfect life, and for his sin-bearing death that sets us right before you. And we pray that you'd help us to find our hope always in him alone. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to continue in prayer, and Ian is going to lead us.
Including praying for our mission partner for November, the Delhi Bible Institute. I'll finish each prayer with the words, "In your Son's name we pray." If you want to make these prayers your own, please join in with an Amen. First, a couple of verses from Ephesians to encourage us. Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 9. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of salvation. Thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die for us, so that we might live. Help us to live a life worthy of this gift, and help us to always keep our eyes fixed on you. When we start to drift and believe in the importance of the works that we do, bring us back to a dependence on you. When we go from day to day without praising you or even acknowledging you in our lives, please remind us of the importance of thanksgiving and prayer. When our world starts to revolve around us, the things we do, and even the people around us, help us to put your Son, Jesus, in the centre of our lives, and not on the edge. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you for the way you have sustained the church family at this time. Thank you for the faithful leadership of Julian, David and Michael. Thank you for the way you have given them wisdom and different gifts as they teach us from week to week, and how they care for your church. We also give thanks for the PCC and church wardens who continue to give their time to support the church. We pray ahead for those teaching in our Sunday club this morning. We pray for safety and security, and we pray for the time that the children will have learning more about you that it will be an encouragement for them all. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray for our mission partner, the Delhi Bible Institute. Thank you for the work that they do and the way that you continue to bless them. We pray for opportunities to reach out, to serve and to witness to Christ. We pray for India as it struggles with COVID, that those in authority can make wise decisions to support those most in need. Through all the hardship, we pray for many to reach out and turn to you for the first time and get the comfort they so much need. We also pray for the annual preaching courses that are being released online, that they are an encouragement to the pastors and students in the teaching centres and ashrams. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray for our world. We pray for those making decisions at local and national level to have wisdom to think beyond the next political statement and put others ahead of themselves. We pray for those in authority that know and love you to be committed in prayer and to be a real witness to others at this time. We also pray that your will be done at this time in all things, and if it is your will, for the suffering to be taken away. We pray at this time for John and Jean Wall, as John has gone back into hospital. Thank you for their faith, and we pray that it sustains them. We also pray for schools as they go back after half term. Thank you for the teachers who continue to work through the different dynamics of school life. Please give them strength and energy for this coming half term. We pray for our children, for those in primary and secondary schools to thrive through this time, knowing that you are alongside them. And we lift all these prayers to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Children are going to be taken over by their parents for Sunday Club. I also wanted to say thank you so much for bringing back the shoe boxes today. You'll have seen there's quite a pile there in the porch. Thank you for packing those up. We pray that those will be a great encouragement to the children who receive them. If even now you can picture at home the shoe box which you carefully packed, which you didn't bring along, then you could bring it. We'll be collecting them again this evening, so for the evening service, or arrange for someone to collect it, or maybe get in touch with the church office and we'll work out a way that it can be added to our overall collection. But let me pray about that, and then pray for our children and for Sunday Club as they start today. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Samaritan's Purse and for Operation Christmas Child, which they've been running for many years. We thank you for the boxes which have been collected here and are being collected around the country. We pray so much, Father, that they would be a great blessing and source of much joy for children who live in harder places than where we are. And we pray also that as they receive those gifts, that in your kindness, they might also receive the good news of Jesus with glad hearts this Christmas. We pray so much that you might enter the lives of many people through this initiative. And so we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. And we pray too, Father, for our children today as they head off to Sunday Club. We pray they'd have a terrific time over there. We pray the arrangements would work really well. We pray, Lord, that you would meet with each one and be working in their hearts. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, while children are dropped off by their parents, we're just going to have a couple of minutes break and some music will play before we resume and we'll have our reading at that point.
Thank you. We're reading this morning from Matthew 9, 27 to 34. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him, and he asked them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." And their sight was restored. Jesus warned them sternly, "See that no one knows about this." But they went out and spread the news about them all over that region. While they were going out, a man who was demon-possessed and could not talk was brought to Jesus. And when the demon was driven out, the man who had been mute spoke. The crowd was amazed and said, "Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "It is by the prince of demons that he drives out demons."
Let's pray as we come to this now. Lord, we so badly need to hear your voice, and we so desperately need to see the Lord Jesus. We pray now that by your Spirit you would help us to do those things. And we ask in his name. Amen. Very quick survey just to get us going. Hands up if you like Marmite. Hands up if you hate Marmite. Somewhere in the middle, don't much care. Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. Marmite, famously divisive, something most people either love or hate. There aren't many who only have moderate views about Marmite, although not the most divisive thing there is. I've been digging around this week. It's amazing where sermon prep takes you sometimes. And I came across this YouGov poll, which lists other things that are very divisive as well. Marmite, interestingly, comes in only at number 15 on their list. So what could possibly be more divisive than Marmite, apart from things like Brexit and lockdowns and Trump and stuff like that? Well, here are some of the things YouGov mentioned. Mrs. Brown's boys. That sounds about right to me. I loathe it. A few nods, I'm pleased to see. Simon Cowell on the list, probably. Pringles prawn cocktail flavour. Now we're getting quite serious, aren't we? Top Gear is on there too. They're all things most people either love or they hate, with not much ground in between. But there's something else we could add to that list. This morning's passage says there's something that's even more divisive and way, way more significant even than the stuff not on that list, than Brexit and lockdowns and Trump. Actually, not something, but someone. It's Jesus. Very striking, isn't it? Look back over that passage in the service sheets again, just for a moment. Try and hold the whole thing in your mind, just for a moment, as you glance at it. You've got two stories side by side. You've got the healing of these two blind men, and then this healing of this demon-possessed man who couldn't talk. We've got two stories about Jesus, and two reactions to Jesus. Notice, in the first story, we see such faith in him from the men who were healed. And then at the end of the second story, we see such opposition to him. Verse 34, the Pharisees said, "It's by the prince of demons that he drives out demons." Sure, Jesus may have some kind of power over demons, they're saying, but only because he is even more demonic himself. And you see the deliberate contrast, don't you, as Matthew brings to a close this run of stories that we've been looking at for a few weeks now, where Jesus shows such wonderful authority over so many different kinds of things, sickness and people and storms and evil, and authority to forgive sins, and even, do you remember last week, authority over death itself. And now he finishes off with two more stories of Jesus showing that he can fix things that the Old Testament always said God's chosen one would be able to deal with, blindness and not being able to speak. And Matthew puts these two stories together at the end to make these two different reactions to Jesus stand out even more. Faith and hatred. As if to say, which is it going to be for you?
I'll take a few moments to look at each of those reactions. Again, in turn, first faith, the faith of these two blind men. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." It's almost a case study in faith in Jesus that we get here. What does real faith in Jesus look like? Well, look at them. We see several things. First, faith involves recognizing the mess that we're in and that our only hope is mercy. It's kindness that we don't deserve. Faith, we see, involves recognizing something about Jesus and going to him. He's not just a slightly better version of ourselves. He's not just a good teacher or a good man or a great religious leader or the sorts of things that people would be happy to say. Jesus is different. Son of David, these men call him. In other words, the great king who centuries before God had promised would come in King David's line one day, but would be far greater than David, would fix this world and rule it like it needs to be ruled. That's you, these men say, as, interestingly, without even seeing Jesus, they hear of what he's been doing. You're the one who can help us. You're the one we need. And then faith is persistent too. Notice it keeps on going. It keeps calling out to him. Verse 27, look at it again. It's not a one-off calling out to Jesus that we read about here, is it? These men, they follow him, we're told. They keep calling out to him as they go. And even when Jesus tests them a little bit, notice verse 28, heads inside without actually stopping to answer them. When you can imagine many might have given up at that point as they saw the door closed. These two don't. They follow him in. That takes guts. "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" Jesus asks. And even that slightly searching question of his doesn't put them off. "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." And their sight was restored. It's glorious. But then last thing to see about true faith, as we look at these men, in this life, it is not followed by perfect obedience. Have a look at the middle of verse 30. Jesus warned them sternly. "See that no one knows about this." But they went out and spread the news about him all over that region. A surprising disobedience, isn't it? Although actually it's not really, is it? When we know ourselves, it's quite realistic. Trusting Jesus, blessed by him. Now they hear his command, "Don't tell others what's happened," which is a surprising command to us, maybe. Doesn't Jesus want us to tell other people about him and the things that he's done? Well, you and me, yes, he does, as we have opportunity to do that. But these two, not for a while, no. Why? Well, we're not told, so we need to be a bit careful about guessing. But it may well be something to do with Jesus wanting to just kind of reduce the hype a bit. There's all kinds of things he needs to be doing and saying if he's going to serve his Father faithfully during his life on earth and help us to see the real truth about him. So it can't just be all about healing. Whatever the reason, though, the command couldn't be clearer, could it? "Shh. I want you to keep this quiet for now," Jesus says. Verse 31. But they do the opposite. Are you trusting Jesus? I wonder what does verse 31 look for us, look like for us if we're trusting him. What sorts of things might the verse 31 over our life say? Trusting him, helped by him. But she went out and gossiped. Trusting him, helped by him, but he went out and complained bitterly about someone else behind their back. Trusting Jesus, saved by him, but he went out and looked at something online he shouldn't have gone near. Trusting Jesus, saved by him, but she went out and ignored the person at church she so obviously needed talking to, who just chatted to her friends instead. All disobedient things, so inconsistent with true faith, but so realistic, isn't it? And it's important for us to understand this. You see, this side of heaven, don't think trusting Jesus means we will never sin. So when we see people around us sinning in maybe surprising kinds of ways, don't think that means they can't be really trusting him. And when we sin, maybe in ways that shock us, and Satan seizes the moment as he likes to do, oh, you can't really have faith, can you? Not if you've just done that. Don't listen. Just run back to Jesus as fast as we can. So warts and all, that's what faith looks like in this life. Our first story, our first reaction to Jesus, trusting him. But now, second story, verses 32 to 34, we're at the other end of the spectrum. We're looking at the end there at hatred, aren't we? A hatred of Jesus. It's another great healing, notice, verse 32. This poor man gets brought to Jesus, possessed by a demon, unable to speak. End of verse 33, demon gone, and the man is talking again. And it's just brilliant. And the crowd watching on are completely blown away, notice. Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel, they say. Notice, they know this is not more of what they used to. This is not just another person coming along and speaking for God. They can tell that Jesus is something more. He's something bigger. He's something new. But they weren't all amazed, were they? Verse 34. Look at it again. The Pharisees said it's by the prince of demons that he drives out demons. It's an extraordinary reaction. Quite surprising, really. And very sobering. The Pharisees, the most religious people of Jesus' day, they notice they see exactly the same things as the rest of the crowd. All the same evidence that causes others to wonder at Jesus and praise him. And they see it so clearly, do you notice? They just can't deny that something miraculous has happened. Do you struggle to believe in miracles? Many of us do sometimes, don't we? But just think, isn't it amazing? If ever there was a group of people it would have suited to be able to deny that something miraculous had just happened, it was these Pharisees. They're so opposed to Jesus, but they just can't. They can't possibly deny the demons have gone, the man is speaking, and it's Jesus who's made it happen. But they won't take that last step of following where that evidence leads. They just won't accept that Jesus really has come to them from God. So they would rather believe Jesus is somehow demonic too. Sure, he might have power over evil, they say, but only because he's even more evil himself. And it is shocking, but it's very humbling, isn't it, as we think about ourselves. We would love to think, wouldn't we, that we are deeply rational people. You know, left to ourselves, show us the evidence, of course we will follow where it leads. Give us evidence that Jesus really is who he says he is, and fine, of course we'll go with that in the end, then, we say. Well, not so, this seems to say. Deep down it says, we are so opposed to Jesus. Left to ourselves, we so hate who he is, we so resist what he wants, we will believe, we'll say, we'll do anything to avoid coming to him. It's quite a sour note, isn't it, for this wonderful run of stories that we've enjoyed to end on. Not praise of Jesus, not even notice confusion about Jesus, not even not being that bothered by Jesus, but real opposition to him. Seeing him do such good and calling it evil. But don't be surprised, Matthew saying. Well, that's how it sometimes goes. I think it was 3 days into my life at university when this first hit me in a way that I really couldn't avoid. So I was used to people laughing at Christians. I remember that happening loads at school. And people arguing as well, lots of feisty debates in RE lessons, and even maths lessons, actually, under the kindly eye of our Christian maths teacher. But I don't think I'd come across real hatred of Christians before. But there we all were, 9 a.m. on Monday morning, the beginning of our first week at university, all told to turn up for this briefing on all the practical things that we needed to understand for life in college. And we were milling around, waiting to be called to order. And suddenly I overheard this conversation in the group of people standing next to me. You're not a Christian, are you? This very tall bloke was saying, with this look of absolute disgust on his face, as he talked to someone who's now one of my very best friends. As if having anything to do with Jesus was just about the most reprehensible thing of all. I've never come across this before, I can remember thinking in the moment. You know, like when you see someone being punched in the face and there's just that sort of shock because they can't quite believe what's just happened. Well, don't be surprised, Matthew's saying, when you face that kind of thing, real hatred of Jesus or see it being expressed elsewhere. It's nothing new. Because trust Jesus or hate him, it will be one of them in the end. That sounds quite stark, doesn't it? It sounds fairly shocking, like surely there's a bit of middle ground in between the two, we think, when it comes to Jesus. But, well, think about it. Think about who we've seen Jesus claim to be, what we've seen of him in the last few weeks. The one who comes not to be our advisor, but with all the authority of God himself. Who comes not for us to squeeze him into our lives alongside all the other stuff that we've got going on, but insists that he is right at the centre running it all. The one who doesn't just ask us to take him into account occasionally, but as we've seen, really calls us to follow him. And when you think about it, you realise there are only two ways to go in the end, aren't there, when someone keeps saying that to you and just won't back down. Either you trust them, or you end up opposing them. There's not really any middle ground in between. So, there we are, end of our section of Matthew. We're moving on to something else next week. What do we take from this section of Matthew that we've looked at? Well, the first thing to take, of course, is great comfort, isn't it? I hope you feel that as we look back and we think of what we've seen of Jesus and his total authority over so many of the things, all the things that make our lives so difficult sometimes. Jesus' authority over sickness and people and storms and evil and even last week, death itself. He could deal with it. Such comfort in that, isn't there? And such a sort of an important message for us. The most important thing for us is not to flee those things as fast as we can. Actually, it's to make sure we're with Jesus. Because if we're with him, then even when they come, we know we'll be okay in the end. Take great comfort from what we've seen of Jesus. And I hope that is a helpful thing to remember as we head into another lockdown with all the confusion and the concerns that that's raising for people. So comfort, but secondly, challenge. Because look at it again. Two stories about Jesus. Two reactions to Jesus. Faith and hatred. And a question. And one I don't think any of us can really avoid. Which will it be for us? Will we trust him, or will we oppose him in the end? Let's pray as we finish. Father, again, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the way that week by week, as we've looked through this passage, you have been writing into our hearts the fact that he has authority over absolutely everything. And he is so good and so kind, and we pray that we would know him and trust him, perhaps especially in these days, conscious of how our mood shifts according to what we hear about this virus. And yesterday was a hard day, and we pray that we would take great comfort from knowing Christ, that we would run to him and cling to him and know that we'll be all right in the end if we're with him. But we pray too that we wouldn't duck this challenge, that you would help us to realise that we can't sit on the fence forever with Christ. We will go one way or the other. We will trust him, or we'll oppose him. And we know that none of us can trust him without your help. Only by your Spirit working in us is that possible. So please, send your Spirit. Move us to trust Jesus, maybe for the first time. Help us to keep trusting him in the days ahead. We ask all these things in his name and for your glory. Amen.
If you look at the words of our final song, you'll see it's another that gives us many reasons to put our hope in Jesus. Do follow the words carefully. There are many great encouragements for us here. So our final song, "What Gift of Grace Is Jesus My Redeemer?"
Now.
thank you again for joining us today. It's been really good to see you, to be together. As we said, we will be in touch about what is going to be happening from next week. Can I say to you now, do just please stay in your places until you're asked for your row to go. But parents, do please, if you've got children over at the village hall, do go and collect them straight away. But do come back for a conversation if you can. We can talk with a group of up to six. Let's make the most of it. If we can just avoid standing on the path, that will allow anyone who wants to head off to do that. Well, let's pray as we close. Our Father God, we thank you so much for this precious time together. Thank you for directing our thoughts and our hearts to the Lord Jesus. Thank you for all the encouragement that we have as we look to him. We pray you keep us trusting him. Please help us to trust him and follow him through this week ahead. And these words from Peter, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm and steadfast. To him be the power, forever and ever. Amen.